wilderness baptized you.
Remember what time God was going to come down into that third compartment.
But the tabernacle in the wilderness was for the people. So the word tabernacle is a finished name. It's actually talking about you, okay? So I like what Brother Ben said, and I believe that, Brother Ben. I believe the full emphasis right now is on this bride. I believe she's going to do the greater works. I believe that she's going to finish this great ministry that was opened up to us when those seals were open. And I think that's what God's trying to get us to do, is to get us to those godly virtues in that stature of a perfect man, so that we can come to adoption to where God can use us that way, just like he did Brother Brandon.
Amen.
I teach the people in our church in Revelation 10. We didn't take the book from the seventh church age messenger. We took the book out of the hands of the mighty angel. Does everybody agree with that? That's why I don't believe Brother Branham has to come back and give me something. It's an open book. It says, in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God, the mystery of the words, the way I like to put God's word, is finished. I tell our people this. If a preacher comes and preaches in our pulpit, and he preaches a mystery, get away from him. Because what we should be as a fivefold ministry is we're preaching the revelation of the mystery. Because our Bible says the mystery's finished. That's why if some preacher in this message comes up with something that's a new mystery, you got to hear it from him. That's not what I read in my Bible. Amen. I've got to get it from the mighty angel. And that's where the emphasis is. Brother Branham has decreased, and that mighty angel in Revelation 10, 1 through 6 has increased. And now he's increasing in the bride, and she's coming to that stature of a perfect man, which is, the, like Brother Ben said, the image of Jesus Christ. What I want to do, I want to, who wants these notes? And I'm going to kind of go through them. Would you hand them out? And I want to hand it. I preached this here at the church about 7 years ago. I was doing a communion service, and so I read the book Communion that was preached in, I believe it's February the 4th of 1966. And I got into a quote that really kind of, when I worked at ConocoPhillips, my job was if a software program blew up, it was my job to find out where it blew up, fix it, and get it back in the system as quick as I could. So my nature is to be very detailed. I look for the, in programming, if it was a period, if it was a comma off, if it was a letter off, it could blow your program up. So I was trained for 34 years to go into something and dissect it out and look at the details of things. And I like to, as a pastor, I believe in the three visions, it'll tell you that the pastor, if you go look at the two callings, pastor and teacher, it's not separated by calling like the rest are. I believe a pastor should be apt to teach his people.
That's right.
I tell the church the difference in a pastor and a teacher is a pastor is a corrective minister. A pastor is one that looks over the local flock and don't let any strange spirits into the flock to sweep away people out of the congregation. But the preacher also has to be able to teach to positionally place those people into the church, in the body where they need to be. So a pastor is a very important office. It's twofold. He teaches you. I do a lot of series. I don't know if you, but that's about the only way I can do it anymore because I do a lot of series. So when I get hung up on something, I just dissect it down to the nth degree, and the people in our church know how my character is. But just to kind of give you an idea, and I call this three signals. I really don't want to call it that. I battled and battled and battled with the title. So I'm going to go back to what I called it in our church when I ministered this like 7 years ago. I ministered again 3 years ago. This just keeps opening up to me. But I want to call it the sign of the Son of Man. There's a lot of things. And you think, we look at what Brother Brad did, the message, even as preachers, we think we pretty well got what he said. But every time we go pick up the seals, we find out there's more to it. And there's always a revelation. There's a piece of mystery that's still left off from it. And every time we do the seals, every time we do the statue of a perfect man, God gives a greater, greater, greater revelation of that subject. So I tell the church like this, and it's kind of funny, but I told them, I said, science says that the average human has to hear a subject 14 times to totally comprehend it. I said that one day, and I stepped out of my pulpit down to floor level, and I said, some of you here is not average. So if I preach it 28 times, it's your fault, not mine. I'll tell you about a pastor's ministry. A pastor does not care if he repeats himself. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. So we're going to hear this message over. That's what we've done for 40, 50 years now. We've heard this message over and over and over. Sometimes I'll preach the subject, and Brother Prater and the preacher, I preached it, I thought I did a good job, and then Brother Prater would come in and say, you know, Brother Paul, I never understood that, but Brother Prater, I thought, I preached it four times, what do you mean? that doesn't happen. And as a pastor, if you're thin-skinned, they'll kind of insult you, because you say, "Yeah, I preached that 4 or 10 times, they didn't get it." Some stranger will come in, and Brother Prater or Brother Tuck preach it, and they get it. But you know what? As a pastor, I don't care how you get it. I don't care who the preacher is. I don't care if you're in your prayer closet at home. What we want to do is get you this great revelation that has come out in this day. And he's going to finish it through you. The only way he can finish what he's done, this revelation, is in and through the bride.
That's right.
And like Brother Ann said, she's the final voice, the final agent under her messenger.
Amen.
So if a preacher comes and he says he's gone further than what Brother Branham has, if he, you know, when you hear that among the message a lot, well, it's a progressive revelation. And I'm picky, I'm very detailed. Brother Frank knows, I'm very detailed. The word progressive is not one time in the message. Amen. He said, "Say only on several days." What I use at our church is, it's the stimulation of revelation. One gets stronger with age. This message, now that we've progressed 50, it's gotten stronger with age.
Amen. Everybody
agree with that?
That's right.
But I cannot progress above what Bill William Brown was. If God gives you a mystery, if God gives you a divine interpretation of the word, he'll send a prophet to do it. You cannot go above, Brother Brandon.
Amen.
Everybody understand that?
Right.
And if you try to go above him, you're no longer the final voice for this age. You've done just what Pentecost did. You become your own mouthpiece.
That's right.
So there's what we got to watch out in fivefold ministry. As I preach more and more and more, you can take, Brother Adam said, you got to know when to start your types and finish your types. As a pastor, I got to be real careful. I'm just really, I don't know how to explain me. But if I'm going to do adoption, I look at every adoption quote through the entire message. Why? I want to keep the continuity of it. I have spent 30 years in the message, and I've seen preachers take this quote, and argue two quotes against each other. I don't know about you, but where I'm at in my revelation today, that's just plain mental. It's just plain mental. You can't do that. What you got to understand is keep the continuity, and the final face, final resting place is in the Word. Does everybody agree with that?
Yeah.
So what I do is I take the quotes that Brother Branham said, and I try to show the people in the Bible.
That's good.
What's happened among a lot of people in the message, we've done a fine job selling Brother Branham.
Right.
Everybody understand? So what happens is they go see where maybe it don't quite line up and they don't have a revelation of it. They say, "Well, Brother Branham said this over here and he said that over here." Well, if I can't believe that, then I'm not going to believe any of it. We've almost had to, Brother Branham, as a divinity in front of the people.
Right.
And I like what Brother Ben said. Brother Branham was a man. He put his shoes and pants on just like I did. But God used him. And Brother Branham said, "Stay with us, saith the Lord." When Brother Branham said, "Billy Paul, pick up my Bible," did he do it? No, that was Brother Branham the man.
That's right.
So you got to have enough sense when you read the message to know the man, Brother Branham, and when it was the mighty angel using that vessel.
That's right.
There's a vessel. I want to get on my subject now. But can we just bow our heads and pray for just a minute, if you would? Dear Heavenly Father, we pray. What we pray for, what Brother Branham said, we need more than any of that thing, is a revelation for you. And that revelation is faith, is what it is. It's a personal experience with you, oh God. Now I pray that you'll open the understanding of this people, Lord. Help me to get myself out of the way.
Yes.
And may that mighty angel speak to this people this morning, Lord. In Jesus Christ's name we ask you.
Yes, amen.
I want to read some scriptures here. I've got right here a note. You don't have your Bible, no problem. I'm going to just, don't read ahead of me. I always have notes out and I get mad if people read ahead of me. You're reading ahead, you're not listening to where I'm at.
Right.
So stay with me. Don't get ahead. I'll tell you the page number I want to flip to. I might flip it back and forth. But just stay with me. Take this home. And I don't care if it's Brother Prater, Brother Tony. If you're a preacher, you may have been under 40. We've had preachers now 33 years in the message. Now they don't believe the message. Right?
Right.
So I don't care how much you respect us. You're duty bound to check out what we say with the word.
Yeah.
And that's why I really believe, I will reiterate it again, submit yourself to your pastor. Pastor, submit yourself to people, and both those submit themselves to the Bible and this message
right.
to come.
Amen.
The Bible's not separate from the message. This message is a divine interpretation of what you got in the Word.
Yeah.
And it required that prophet to bring us where we are today, okay? So let's read Genesis 1:14. And God said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs." If you notice in there, I put Korean signals. So these things that happen in heaven is a signal of something. Brother Branham said this, God always announces it in heaven first before he does it on earth. Does everybody agree with that?
Yeah.
And even science now at NASA, even with Moses, they said 4 days before the flood, you know those stars that lined up in the days of Jesus when he was born? And remember Brother Branham, remember the stargazer on the bus that said, I know because those planets lined up, just like they did with Jesus. Every 2,000 years, those planets actually line up, and God sends a gift to the earth. Right? So Moses, it happened. Proving the days of Noah, it happened 4 days before the flood. So God has, he said it in Genesis, that the stars and the galaxy out there are for signs and for seasons. If you look up that word seasons, it means appointed times. God has appointed times and seasons that he does things on the earth. See, God knows the beginning from the end. He put this thing together before there's ever a molecule out there, right? So that's the scripture one. And for seasons and for days and years. Now, Psalms 19 and 1. Now, I like David because you got to realize he was a shepherd. He sat out there on the hill. Well, at night, that's what they did. They were stargazing. That's what shepherds were.
Yeah.
You remember the shepherds were tending their flock? Right. They knew something was going on. Is that right? They knew it because they were stargazers is what they were. Okay? So I'm going to read it in Psalms 19, 1. The heavens declare or tell the glory of God, and the firmament shows. So if you show something, it's a signal. What a signal is, if you're coming up to it, there's a lot of curves in Arkansas. Like this, before you get there, they'll show a sign that goes like that. It's a signal and a warning to let you know what lies ahead.
Right, that's right.
Well, that's exactly the way God thinks. He's not going to leave his bride unawares. He's not going to catch you off guard. Right. Is that right? He wants you to be fully aware of where we're at today and anything that might, you know, like we look at the world, how messed up it is. It don't faze me one bit. It's a sign.
Yeah.
As it was in the days of Noah, as it was in the days of Lot. But what do you expect? When I see those signs, it's a signal to me that we're there. We're at the revealing of the Son of Man. Is that
right? That's right. Amen.
Okay, let's go to the next one. Matthew 24:3. And he sat upon a Mount of Olives, and disciples coming to him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? You remember, there's three questions, and I'll read them here. When shall these things be? Well, that's the first one. What is it? When will the temple be destroyed? Remember? When he come out there, they said, look at the temple. Well, you know, statue of a perfect man. Look, God don't live in a temple built by hands. Does anybody know that scripture? Solomon, when he dedicated a temple, he said, I know heaven's your throne, earth's your footstool. How can I build something that God can live in? But you know what? God honored him. Because he was doing, as a mortal man, the best thing he could do. He built a beautiful temple. And when people came there, they said when you come across the desert, for 40 miles out, you could see the glow of gold off that temple. And God honored Solomon because he was doing something for God. And I believe this. I believe if you will absolutely serve him with all your heart, mind, and strength, I believe God will honor you. I believe that with all my heart. I believe ask what you will, he'll be given it.
Amen.
God honors his bride. He really does. And what honors is grace. Grace is favor, honors. So see, he does favor you.
Yeah.
Okay? So the first question, when will the temple be destroyed? What shall be the sign of thy coming? When I preach this at the church, that's what I preach, the sign of the Son of Man. Okay? Remember Brother Branham preaching where he said, it's all, A-L-L, gathered up in the Son of Man. You realize you can come from all the way from the beginning, all the way to the end. And if God wanted to save a people at that time span, he sent a prophet. And a prophet was a Son of Man, right? Revealing the Son of Man. So all through the age, Brother Adam said, it's all gathered up in the Son of Man. Those two witnesses will go to Israel. They're going to gather them up under the Son of Man. Does everybody understand that? That's the hour. But we've got to have a revealing of that Son of Man, right? That's a sign or a signal to us, okay, as a Gentile people. So he says, what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And if we, and then I want to go here to 24:30, which kind of, I want to show you something here. What I hear preachers say, and really, and the reason I'm adamant about this, is because I hear people say that cloud that come down on Sunset Mountain, that's the appearing. That was not the appearing, that was the coming. It says in Revelation 10:1 that mighty angel said, descend. Click on that word descend, it says come.
Amen.
Okay? And I'm going to show you this morning where you will understand the appearing and the coming and the meeting in the air are three different things that's going to happen. Brother Brad said, what's the only thing we should be looking for as a bride? The meeting of the air. That's the last signal. Do you understand? That's why I said three signals. To them, they had three here. Very natural things, right?
That he told them. That's right.
For us, we're the spiritual Israel. And there's three things that he's going to tell us to show you where we're at as a Gentile. The first thing is the appearing of the Son of Man. The second thing is the coming of the Son of Man. And the third one is the meeting in the air. So many times, Brother Ramley's out, he'll say, he'll call that a coming. Really, it's a meeting. right? Brother Ram said he come on Sunset Mountain. That was our Lord out there. Is everybody agree? Yeah. I'm not going to preach to you as a five-fold minister that he's coming. I'm going to tell you he's here. Yeah. He has already descended. Does everybody agree
right.
with that?
Amen.
He's here. And it says in Revelation 10, the mighty angel. This is the way I put it. Brother Ram said, angel is a ministering spirit. Let's put it. The mighty ministering spirit descended. God descended in spirit form. How does he give you a revelation? Spirit. Like he said, remember Peter? Flesh and blood hasn't revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. What is spirit? The only way God can give you a revelation is by the Spirit. Everybody agree with that?
Right.
So in this hour, he has descended on that mountain in sunset. It was a mighty angel, a mighty ministering spirit. Brother Ben said, only Christ it could be has come in this hour to do one purpose, to finish the work of redemption. And part of that work of redemption is for you to recognize he's did it and you got to accept it.
Amen.
This message right. is the final. You will not receive another message. This is your redemption right now. Okay? 24:30. So he shall appear, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. See, colon, stop. Not a period, colon. That's a direct stop. Stop. Look at the next part. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming. So the appearing and the coming is purposely put that colon in there to separate them. There's a reason it's in the scripture that way, okay? In the clouds of heaven. Did he in Revelation 10, 1 through, did he descend in a cloud? He said he'll come back like Mary,
right?
So we know he's here. With power and great glory. Okay, look, I want to read flashing red light of coming. It says, see, they ask three questions. Now, I'm going to go here. I'm going to skip down the highlights because I don't want to keep you long, okay? We brethren make mistakes. It's talking about preachers, right? We brethren make mistakes by trying to apply it all to his coming. But he is answering three different questions. The same thing about the appearing, the coming, and the meeting. It's three entirely different things.
Amen.
So you need, if it's a ministry, if we get the what the appearing is mixed with the coming, with that, we'll have it all messed up. Right? Now, we know when you hear Brother Bramby say, well, the rapture of the coming. Well, we understand he's talking to a Pentecostal crowd or whatever, and he's using their terminology to try to get his point across, because we've said for years that's the coming. But in reality, go look at the scripture. That's the meaning. Does everybody agree with that? It doesn't say coming there. The scriptural approach is faith's final resting place is in the Word. We'll meet him in the air. Does everybody agree with that? There's no coming on it. 1 Thessalonians 4, go look at it. So that in the air is a meeting. The coming was in 1963 on Sunday night. Prove it by the scripture. The mighty angel descends from heaven.
That's right.
That's his coming. But it talks about Matthew will be an appearing of the Son of Man.
Amen.
Okay? And I think a lot of people, and I'm not trying to brag, it's just something I'm the weirdest, I'm as curious as a cat, so to speak. I see something, I'll say, why? And I'll go dig and dig and dig until God will show it to me. Like I told him, I'm like a pit bull with a bone. When I get after something, I'm going to get after it, okay? But I want to go on here. Let's go to the next page. Page 2. And I put some messages here. And what I've noticed is the order that Brother Ram preached the messages is of dire consequence.
Amen.
Before you can get to one message, you've got to have this preached. You've got to, or else the people you preach this will totally be lost. So I show you here, adoption was one of the first, right? Brother Ram in the Stature of a Perfect Man, when he preached in 62, he said the Holy Spirit that's up here between the capstone and the pyramid. Does everybody remember that?
Mm-hmm.
He said it was the Holy Ghost. Go look at every quote Brother Ram said. He called that adoption in one place. He called it one place the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But let me tell you something. What that Holy Ghost up there is the restoration of the Holy Ghost. Because on the pyramid, remember he talks about the church ages? He said the way God redeems the church, goes through the church, it's the same way he deals with the individual. Everybody agree with that?
Yeah.
Look. They received the baptism of the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost. You agree?
Right.
So they had the baptism of the Holy Ghost down here. Brother Ram said you get the birth at the bottom of the pyramid. Then you start going up the pyramid, and he said Revelation has many parts. You know, this is what people make the mistake in the message. They read the rapture book and say the rapture is a revelation. Brother Ram didn't say that.
Yeah.
But the a revelation it is the revelation of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And he is the Word.
Right.
Jesus was the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So if you're going to get the rapture, you've got to take every word, every revelation in this message, you've got to have it. If Brother Ed said, if it took Eve every word, she was one word off and fell away, it'll take every word to get back to Eden. So what happens in the ministry, what they've done is by not having a revelation of what the rapture really is, They come and they say parousia. That's their silver bullet. That's their single revelation that they think you're going to go to rapture. The word parousia is the same word as Shekinah. And all that means is God with you. That's sanctification. Sanctification won't take you in a rapture.
Right.
You know that?
Right.
It's got to be the Son of Man in you. It's got to be Christ Amen. In you, the hope of glory. That's the only thing you're going to take a rapture with. Does everybody agree?
Amen.
So what it is, then you get two lords. Then you get all these different doctrines that are, they think it's the silver bullet. It's the revelation that's going to take you to rapture. So they denominate around it when they don't realize. Go read the rapture book and see how many different revelations Brother Branham talks about. He talks about everything in there. What Brother Branham is trying to tell you, it's the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now let me tell you something. One day I was reading it, I clicked on the word revelation at the beginning of the book. Do you know? Does anybody know what the fourth meaning of revelation is? Coming. Let me tell you what the book of Revelation, it's the coming of Jesus Christ. He came in the first church age.
Right.
He came in the second church age.
That's right.
From the time of Revelation chapter 1 all the way to the end, it's talking about the coming of the Lord. That's the whole point of the book. Does everybody
that's
understand
right.
that? So in order, that mighty angel has to come to you personally. That mighty angel has to be a revelation. That's the coming. If that mighty angel don't come to you personally, Brother Merle, you're lost. You don't have the guide in you. Brother Branham preached the stature of a perfect man. The next message he preached was a guide.
Yeah.
If you don't have a guide, he can't guide you up through that. But those are godly attributes. Right? That's what says that. So you got to understand, the baptism of the Holy Ghost comes on the day of Pentecost. Everybody agree?
Mm-hmm.
And he puts the Holy Ghost up there. So if you don't have a revelation, you'll never understand that chart. But what that Holy Ghost is, was the restoration of the Holy Ghost in this hour.
Amen.
It's the full, we're back to the fullness of the Word.
Amen. That's right.
Right? And we, as a church, we take the Old Testament, the New Testament, we take it all. And it's going to take all to take a rapture. So be careful. Be careful. Don't, you know, I hear some people say, well, Daniel's 70 weeks is Daniel and his people. Last time I checked, it's in this book, it's open to me. Be careful. You throw away a revelation, it could be taking your part out of the book. Is that what it says?
Right.
Be careful. What we need to do is get in the books and tapes and ask God for an understanding of what's been ministered this hour. And I believe if you'll come to Him with an open heart and honest, God is obligated to His bride. He'll give you that revelation. It might not be right now, but in the weeks ahead, He'll give you the revelation in the day that you need it. That's why I don't press. I don't fight my way. As far as a revelation, I know that God is duty-bound to give me the revelation. Because I told a guy one time, he said, you think you're going to make it in a rapture? And something from the inside of me, brother, I didn't even think it. You know, you have that, something jumps way down. I said, I am the rapture. That was 30 years ago I said it. I don't have the revelation, but now I understand
that
wasn't me. That was a voice in me that said, you are the rapture. How can you miss the rapture when you are the rapture?
That's right.
Right? That's the kind of attitude we've got to take. But let me read here. Now, I got this quote here. I didn't think I did, but look, let's go to page 2, where it's the stature of a perfect man. Now, after we get through with those seals, now Brother Ram's talking ahead. This is preaching 62:10-14. Brother Ram's talking about seals that be free. And at that time, the sounding of the seventh seal, or the loosening. Of course, we know what a seal is to loose the ministry. So the purpose of the seals was to loose the ministry of the Son of Man. Does everybody understand that? Well, if God's going to do something, He's got to announce it in the heavens first. You agree?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Of course, we know what a seal is. It's loose the ministry, loose seven seals. And we'll see that right on the chart is loosing a message. Something that's sealed up. Okay? Statue of perfect man. What is God condescending to His creation? God wants to be worshipped. The word God means object of worship. And God is trying to condition His people. Right? So we can get from them what He created them for. He never made you to be something else besides a son and daughter of God. If you have missed that, of being a son and daughter of God, you missed the mark. Does anybody know what missing the mark is? Sin. What God's whole purpose, everybody in this room, is for you to be a son and daughter of God. And if you fell short of that, it's sin. You missed the mark. Everybody agree? I want to go read, and like I say, in 62, I was preaching on the communion. I ran across the quote. Remember in 62 when those planets lined up, Brother Ben said 5? What I did was, I was so curious. He said, this eve, there's something fixing to happen out in the astronomical, the stars. And he said, and I'll read the quote here in a minute. But he said, I believe it's the issues of God coming forth. And the reason I did it, when I looked at the quote, he said it was the EV, I just put it on the internet, 2/4/62. And it blew me away with what I'm looking, what I got to. And by, and I want to tell you something, I'm not a scientist, I'm not trying to, at the bottom of the hill, trying to cook this thing down, the message. But I think there's a lot of things as we go through it as preachers that Brother Branham said, you know, just kind of vanilla it out there, that now the preachers are picking up the detail of what he was talking about. Do you agree, Brother Prater?
Yeah.
You agree, Brother Tony?
Yeah, right. That's right.
Brother Branham said the pastor will get cooler and break it down for the people. There's something that's happening in this hour is far greater than I think even our gray matter has comprehended so far.
Right.
Okay? Let me look here. It says, I have read all kinds of history where it says astronomers, and there's never was anyone else that even that light except the wise men. When the days of Jesus, the only one that seen that star was those three wise men. You realize there was a whole lot of magi in the land at that time? In India, there's thousands of them. But God only revealed it to three.
Right.
So just because we're the smallest people on the face of the earth and we see something, doesn't mean it's not right. Because there's only three magi out of the entire magi, and there's lots of them in India. Right? But only three seen it. God showed them, and by those stars, he led them to the Christ. Does everybody agree with that?
Yeah.
That's what he led them to, okay? That's the reason they was expecting it. You understand? They read the book of Daniel. Does everybody understand that? In Daniel, it talked about a star would rise up. Is that right? So they were meditating on that word that they had read, and all of a sudden, a star. Brother Rem said it was a stranger in heaven appeared. Did you know that? They seen that star, they started following that star, and that star led them to Jesus Christ. So it was Scripture being fulfilled, but only three of the Magi had seen it. I think that's pretty good. That's just a little, very few will find it. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to the junction time here. I'm going to try to just read the whole highlights, so I won't have. But God turns right back around. The first ones recognized it was a bunch of star gazers, astronomers who came from the east, coming westward to recognize it, seeing a mystic star. Nobody else saw the star. They saw it. Why? Because it was given to them. Is that right? Let's go to the, this is where I got the text from here, that when I'm talking about the sign of the Son of Man, it was in communion. And this is a, and Brother Rand will start talking about this more and more and more. At the hour he was preaching, Brother Rand had no idea what was happening. He knew something was happening in the star. But he didn't have a total revelation of what was going down. Does everybody understand that? Okay, let's see. 74. We see that the astronomers are predicting sometime in this early part or first part of the month. Now look at the date. It says 620204. Right? The very day he preached this, this was actually happening in the stars. It was actually happening when Brother Rand spoke this. Okay? Okay. Beginning on the 2nd or 5th, or somewhere along this month. Well, he's preaching on the 4th. Does everybody understand that? It was actually happening the very day Brother Branham was talking about it. Listen to what he said. Or somewhere along this month, the Indian astronomers predict the world will blow to pieces. And the American newspaper made fun of it. Well, that's American spirit, make fun of it, right?
Yeah.
I do not believe the world's going to blow to pieces, but I do say it's wrong to make fun of it. Because something's fixing to happen one of these days. Something similar to that. When the five planets, Mars, Jupiter, Venus, and so forth, comes into their... They never have did it. They claim maybe 25,000 years ago, but who was back there to know it? And I'm going to follow this up and you'll see something. Next one. I predict that this has a spiritual application. I believe it's the coming in of the issue of God. Everybody hear what I'm saying? It's the coming in of the issue of God. That the great revelation of the Word will be opened during this time. Remember, they claim it has three stars came into the orbits when Jesus was born. That's true. And this is five. Five is grace, the number of grace. Three is the number of perfection. Five is the number of grace. J-E-S-U-S, grace, faith, so forth. Number of grace. God ever sends his power to the church, it'll be his grace. It won't be the obedience of the people.
Yes. That's right.
That's why I told the church, I've been preaching, Brother Rand said, and later on, in the med flashing red light, he said, you know how you get up through the virtues? Let go and let God.
Yeah. Amen.
If you're doing it, it won't work.
Yeah.
Anything you build will fail.
Right.
God is building a temple to live in. If God builds it, he'll live there.
Amen.
If you build it, you can't live there.
Amen.
There's the whole thing about the stature of a perfect man. It has to be out of your nasty hands.
Yeah.
and you put it in his hands, he'll build the temple for us. Do you agree?
Yes.
Okay. Next quote, the end time seed sign. Now what's happened? We see a roar in the paper, across the television, across the nation, where five stars just fell in line with the world. What's five? A number of grace. Every time those stars come, that something happens on earth. What's taken place? Five stars fell in. What was it? Introducing of what? He's asking the question. What? There's something being introduced to the earth. What is it? Remember, God does it in the heavens first before he presents it to the earth, right? Now let's go down. Since then, we look what's taken place. Germany almost washed off the map. Some of the Magi said that the world would burst like a watermelon. Every distressful thing prophesied to them for the last days. Look what's taking place. England the other day had a storm that blew away 70,000 homes one day. Disasters everywhere. California, Los Angeles, like to wash it in the ocean. Okay? What is it? Beginning of sorrows.
Yeah.
Okay? Listen, let's go on. Earthquakes is picked up everywhere. Why is it? Five stars come in. Grace. God's grace. What's happened? An infant church, hallelujah, a bride, amen. Infancy, that the power of God has begun to fall on her. She's taking form, a bride for the bridegroom. That three stars meant his perfection of the Heavenly Father and the Trinity becoming one on earth among us. God's offices becoming one of us. What happened now? It's the church of the living God. Does everybody understand?
Yeah.
The now existent God coming together under the Word of God, and the astronomic heaven is announcing her approach. Her approach to what? Stature of a perfect man. Her approach, where she'll come into perfection. Does everybody understand that? You really, when I get through this, it'll really blow you away. Might not believe that, but it's the word just the same. Yes, sir. Next one. First time Christ come was through the virgin. Next time he comes is through the lion of the tribe of Judah. The cross finishes the cancer age. Does anybody know their zodiac? What is the cross fishes? Is that a cancer sign? Brother Rem didn't say it right. See, he was a man.
Right, man. That's right.
He had his astronomical sign wrong.
Yeah.
Look, cross fishes is not cancer. Cancer is the crab.
Right, right.
The reason I know that, my name's Claude. You remember the little tie, whatever? What do they call them?
Little beanie babies.
Beanie babies. A lady at work gave me one. It's called Claude the Crab. And so crab is cancer. Remember, Brother Rand said cancer was like a crab. It goes out and pinches other flesh and it bruises it and it becomes cancer. Do you agree?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So Brother Van, when he said cross fishes, then he said cancer, cross fishes, right? It's Pisces.
Right.
Does everybody agree with that?
Right.
Okay, now I'm going to tell you something. Brother Branham said there's three Bibles. There's the stars, the pyramid, and the Bible that's written in that book. But he said this is written down to argue. You know where he said that? You know what's happened to people in the message? We got the message wrote down. We got the Bible. And you know what it's to do for a lot of messages? To argue.
Right.
And until this is revealed to you, you will argue.
That's right.
You'll argue this quote against that.
That's
but
right.
Once you get a revelation of what it says, the argument is over.
That's right.
Amen.
Once you get a revelation, your argument's finished. Brother Ben said, God don't argue his children on. Why? Because we come to the perfect revelation of the Word.
Amen.
This is the time of perfection. Now I want you to understand that. And it's not your obedience that's going to make you perfect.
That's right.
Does everybody understand that?
Amen.
That's not because you're a failure. Brother Ben said, you'll be sticky all the way through. Quit majoring on your flesh and start looking at what God's done on the inside of the inside.
That's right.
What's on the inside of you never sin and it never will sin.
That's right.
It cannot come to unbelief.
Right.
It cannot miss the mark.
Praise God.
Everybody, we'll come to the understanding of who we are. We'll be an invincible army.
Yes.
You're exactly what he said you was.
That's right.
God didn't give you this message to be a failure.
That's right.
He gave you a perfect message to bring you to a perfect stature of Jesus Christ. We're like Brother Ben. I love it. You're hitting where I've been a lot. It's a stature of a living God, a now existent God, a God with flesh on it. That's what you are.
Glory to God.
Okay?
That's right, sir.
He says, if you go read this, I'm just going to say it, but I just quoted ahead of time. So you got the stars, which was the first heaven. Okay? You had the pyramid, which was another Bible. Right? Stars was a Bible. Pyramid was the Bible. Now we have this written Bible. Brother Bam said in a quote, he said, I don't know much about stars. He said, this is my Bible. Everybody, the hour we're in, this is our Bible. But if it's just letter to you, it's dead.
That's right.
It's not been quickened yet. it has to be quickened. And the way God quickens his word is by revelation.
Amen.
What quickens the word? Spirit.
Right.
What is the Holy Ghost sent for? The Holy Ghost is the anointing of this word.
That's right.
Does everybody understand? The Holy Ghost has one purpose, to bring this word to pass.
Yeah.
And you're in here, little bride. You're supposed to take a rest. God, the anointing of the Holy Ghost is here to bring you to a perfect state.
Amen.
It's not that you're going to do it. It's the work of the Holy Spirit that's going to do it. It's Christ. Paul said, Christ in you, the hope of glory.
That's
what is
right.
Christ? The anointed one.
That's right.
Does everybody agree?
Amen.
That's what's going to bring you to perfection. Get yourself out of the picture. You're the problem.
Yeah,
you know, we say sometimes you're not the solution, you're part of the problem.
Yeah.
This is part of the problem.
Amen.
So quit thinking you're going to be bringing this guy into subjection. And you can to a degree, but Brother Edson, it'll be sticky all the way through. So forget about this and start majoring on the major that's inside of you, okay? That's what we need to dwell on, okay? Next one, let's go. And I have here, you see the highlight, the zodiac, the pyramids, and the written words. I'm not going to read that. And I told you the mistake. They try to apply it all in one calendar. Is that right? See, in the days of Jesus, they thought he was going to ride in on a white, descend out of heaven on a white horse, ride in and take over the kingdom. Is that right?
Right.
They applied it. That was the wrong coming.
Right.
He didn't come to do that. That's going to be when he comes riding out, right?
Yeah.
The heaven of heavens on white horses. Everybody else will be riding white horses. We will. That's that coming. So Brother Rev said they tried to apply everything to that one coming. And because of that, they messed it up. If you're not careful, you're going to apply everything to the, either you're looking for everything to happen over here, right? And you don't see what's happened there and what's happening now.
Right.
As a bride, we're going to put it all together, okay? Okay. I'm going to say, appearing of the Son of Man, where that is. Let's go here. As Jonah was in the belly of the whale, the Son of Man will be the heart, in the heart of the earth. Many people today think he's still there. But he's not dead. He's risen from the dead and here with us now, appearing among us. I want to tell you something. You go look at the appearing of the Son of Man, you'll find it mostly in 1962. In 1962 was the appearing of the Son of Man. Brother Branham said, the appearing of the Son of Man was that Melchizedek that came to Abraham. Does everybody agree with that? He came to Abraham because he was going to destroy Sodom. But remember, he came back to give him the promise. Does everybody agree? So the appearing is different than when he comes to fulfill the promise. Do you agree with that?
Amen.
So you can't mix them together, or you're going to mess yourself up. You're not going to have it right, okay? Now I'm going to skip that story of Coy. Brother Ram preached that in communion. And Brother Ram, I honestly believe Brother Ram, under inspiration, preached something. He didn't even have a full understanding of what he was saying. But that's how God uses a prophet. Is that right?
Yeah.
So I'm going to move on. Trying to play a little bit of groundwork and I'm going to fly here in a minute. I really haven't got started yet. Does everybody know that it says in this hour, I'm going to go to this page, at the bottom page, says, saved by water. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. Does everybody agree with that? How did he save Noah? If it's going to be the same way in this hour, how is he going to save you? How's he going to save you? If as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. Does everybody agree? Brother Ed said, the water that killed those unbelievers saved Noah.
Right. That's
so
right.
So he saved Noah by water.
That's
so
right.
If it's going to be the same as it was today, what is he going to save you by?
Right.
Water. And I'm putting some things in your brain. I'm going to pull it all together here in a minute. Okay, let's go to the next page. See this sign right here? This guy here? Does everybody understand in 1962, half of the astronomers will say we moved into the age of Aquarius?
Yeah.
Does everybody understand that? Yeah. Now remember, there's only three magi's out of the thousands and thousands that seen the star.
Right.
So astronomers, some of them can figure it out, some of them can't.
Right.
Now that horoscope stuff, forget it.
Right.
The horoscope is men's interpretation of what they think it says. Does everybody understand that?
Right.
I don't believe in a horoscope. I believe in the signs because God put them there.
Right? Amen.
Men didn't do that. That's the handiwork of God to put those signs in the skies.
Yes.
Everybody understand that? So I don't believe in a horoscope where they tell me I'm Taurus and I'm going to be this, this, and this on a certain day.
Right.
And I'll be honest with you. When you're born again, you're born under this
right.
Aquarius. Do you know what they call that guy, astronomers? the Son of Man.
Yeah.
Did you know that's what they call him?
No.
We, in 1962, when those planets rolled around, we moved out of the Pisces age.
That's
Remember
right.
Remember the Christians had the cross stitches? That's what Brother Ed said. For 2,000 years since the time of cross, we've been under the Pisces age. Now, I'm going to tell you something. You say, what's the significance? Because God does it there before he does it here. And I'm going to tell you something. You know your stardust? Do you know you're a star? Your stardust?
Sure.
Do you think those stars don't have a pull on you and your stardust? You see what I'm saying? So what happens in the heaven has a direct effect on this earth.
Right.
Yeah.
That's why they said we predict that the world's going to be destroyed. Why? Because what happens there has a big pull on what happens here.
Amen.
If you don't believe me, that moon will bring the tide up. Right?
That's right.
Yeah. Sure.
So don't tell me the heavens don't have an effect on the earth.
It does. That's right.
And what God has done in this hour in 1962, God, every 2,160 years, if you look at the zodiac, it's a wheel in a wheel. The zodiac on the outer part of it is every 25,000 years. So you take and divide that by 12, you got 2,160 years approximately. And what you do is this zodiac goes counterclockwise, and this one goes clockwise. It's a wheel and a wheel. Everybody understand that? The zodiac?
Okay.
That cloud that come down. Remember what he said? He said, a wheel and a wheel. And right? So see, God never changes his plan. He does the same. God does not change, right? So what happens is every 2,100, it flips to a new zodiac sign we're under.
Yeah.
And let me show you something. I want you to go to another page and I'll prove it to you. This will blow you away. So a lot of people don't realize what's happened, okay? I'm going to try to show you what's happened this hour. I'll tell you the page number. Probably about almost the last page, really, before it shows over. No, a couple of last days. Don't get ahead of me. Don't read.
Page 12.
Don't read. Okay, let's go to page 12. And I'm going to go back to Gemini. Does everybody see that? Now, I told you where the age of Aquarius, right? Does anybody understand what sign of Gemini is?
Yeah.
Twins. That was the sign they were under at the Garden of Eden.
Wow.
Look at the dates on it they put. 5899 to 3754. Everybody understand that? 4,000 BC before Christ. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
So they were under the Gemini twins. And if you look at the Genesis, even the names that are on the righteous generation and the other, it was twins. Yeah. Same
right.
name. You know, right? They were under the influence of that age.
Right.
When you're under that sign, it does influence what's going on in the earth.
That's right.
I want you to know that.
That's right.
They were under the influence of twins, right?
Yeah.
So they were coming to the end of the Gemini age in that time, and they were under the influence of twins, okay? Look at the next one, Taurus. Does anybody understand what Taurus was?
A bull.
A bull.
Does anybody understand what they erected to Baal to worship?
Right.
You see the influence it has on the earth?
Yeah, that's right.
Huh?
Right.
Does everybody understand?
Right.
So for 2,000 years, that influenced the earth. The next one is Aries, which is what? Ram, sheep. That's what Jesus looks at the dates of it. From 1760 BC to 101, that's the influence. He was the ram. The influence in that hour was the ram, right? Remember Abraham, the ram? Everything under that age was influenced. It had a direct effect on what's going on there to the earth, okay? The next one is Pisces. Now, for the last 2,000 years, before 62, we were in a Pisces. What did Jesus tell the disciples when he called them? I'll make you fishers of men.
Yeah.
Water. Do you agree? Now, go look at it. Why? Because that was God had already showed it in the heavens. It's got to happen on the earth. Does everybody understand that? Now look at the next one, Aquarius. And the sign of Aquarius is the Son of Man. Or they call him the Prince. Or they call him the Perfect Man. So the influence that you've entered into is the Son of Man.
That's right.
When you look, I was born under Taurus. What were you born under, Virgo?
Virgo.
But when you're born again, remember the man said, you're born under a sign in your natural birth. But when you're born again, you're born under the sign of the Son of Man. You're a perfect man, buddy. You didn't know it, did you? That's the influence that's on you at your new birth. That's what lined up in the heavens. Brother Ram said, I believe, don't make fun of it, But he said, I believe it's the issues of God coming forth.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Now look at this guy here. He has a water pot. You know what he's doing? He's pouring water down to the earth.
Yeah.
The same thing that saved Noah in his day was water.
Yeah.
Is going to save you in this hour, water. What is the water? The Word.
Amen.
The very thing that's going to kill them outside of this message.
That's right.
It's the same thing that's going to take you home.
That's Amen.
That's right.
So the issues of God have come forth, which is the watering of the Word.
That's good.
So you're under the influence of the Word, and that that issues of God, the influence of the Word, is what's going to bring you under this sign, which is the Son of Man. Some places they call it, I got here, I, go look it up on the internet. Go look up Aquarius, the sign. And read it and what it says. Okay, and I'm going to read it here. Aquarius, look what it says. Aquarius, at the very top, page 7. Is everybody there?
Yeah.
7. Go look at this. I want to show you something. This is the influence that everybody in this room does. Does everybody understand? Brother Rand said, what you are here is what you'll be there.
Yeah.
Brother Rand said, the anointing in the millennium is joy. Did you know that? If you don't have joy here, what makes you think you're going to be
happy? Right,
Brother Ben? Right. We can't get happy in church. We're sitting there going, like our best friend died. You won't show any emotion. You have no feeling. That's what he's talking about. The influence in this hour is joy. That sign is a joy. It's when the earth... Actually, does everybody understand how in the world they call it the New Age movement?
Right.
Where they got it from, they got the pull of the power. They don't know the word that's happening.
That's right.
The Aquarius has moved into a New Age.
Right.
And what they're trying to do is they're trying to put it under a natural thing. They feel the pull, the natural. Does everybody understand that?
Yes.
They feel the pull, but they don't see the spiritual aspect of it. And you're being pulled spiritually by what? The Word.
Yeah. Amen.
Everybody in this room, what your salvation is, what Brother Ed said is, what faith is established on is in the Word.
Yes.
Brother Brim, after this came about in February 4th, 8 months later, he's preaching the stature of a perfect man. Why? It's the influence of the age.
Amen.
Brother Brim can only preach the influence that was sent down from heaven.
Yeah.
God announced it there and said, we're going to bring the issues of God to you. It's the perfect man, Christ Jesus. Do you believe that?
Amen.
He's dropping this word down to us, a perfect word, the fullness of the word, not part word, not crossed fishes where you're going opposite direction. Under the church ages, we were going opposite directions. You understand? That's cross. Anybody ever see it? One fish going this way, one fish is going that way. We're not under the influence of that. I'm not going one way and God's going the other way.
No, that's right.
God is dropping and he's, like you said, he's filling my bowl with water.
Amen.
Right.
He's emptied the entire heavens and he's dropped this water down out of the water pot. When you look at communion, you ever thought of this? Like I say, I look at every detail of it. When Jesus told him to go get to the upper room, do you know what he told him? You're going to run into a man that's got a water pot.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's exactly right.
We actually ran into a man with a water pot. Lord. His name was William Brown. And he showed me to the upper room.
Lord.
To where I'm going to have communion.
Lord.
Go look at what communion is. I'm going to read that about Poi and the communion. It'll blow your mind away. It'll show you exactly what's happening in this hour. These little bitty messages, what we do, we bruise over them, we fly over them, we think we got it, and we come back until God reveals it to you. Mm-hmm. This is the age of perfection.
Yes.
Brother Graham preached perfect faith.
Yeah.
Stature of a perfect man.
Yeah.
Restoration of the bride tree. You know, restoration of the bride tree is the same thing as the stature of a perfect man?
Yes, it is.
It's not a different message. You just come at a different angle with it.
Yeah, that's right.
So everything. And Brother Graham said when he preached stature of a perfect man, he said, I preached the church ages, I preached Daniel 70 weeks, I preached adoption. What good is it going to get to go to, for him to end up in preaching the new heaven and new earth if you don't have a perfect man to put there?
Yeah.
Like I told the people, it's a pyramid people for a pyramid city.
Yeah.
The only way you're going to be in that pyramid is if you come to the stature of a perfect man.
Hey.
If you don't come to the stature of a perfect man, you won't be in that pyramid city.
Yeah, that's exactly.
You can bank on it, everybody here.
Yeah.
And Brother Brandon said, when he preached there, he said, what does everybody in this room want to do? Get closer to God.
Amen.
Can I say everybody in this room wants to get closer to God?
Amen. Amen.
That's what God has done in this hour. He has issued some word. He's emptied the heavens of heaven. He's put a word on you that'll absolutely draw you to the capstone. And this message is going to take you to a pyramid city.
Amen.
You've got to have it here. What you are here is what you there.
That's
if
right.
you're not a pyramid people here, you're never going to be in that pyramid city.
That's right.
So Lord, God has to do something to get us there.
Amen.
Because your obedience ain't going to do it.
That's right.
Hey.
Isn't that wonderful? I'm sure glad I ain't got nothing to do with this. Most of what Ben does is, we invent cars, we kill more people with it than any. I love my car. But you know what? More people's died from it than any other instrument there's been created.
Right.
So I'm glad God got me out of the picture. I'm glad I'm out of it. And it's all Christ now. Only Christ that could be. Right? We're baptized into the body. Like I told the church, the only one that makes it in the rapture is one person. Jesus Christ.
That's right.
You're baptized into the body, but the one going to make it, that's Jesus Christ. I'm glad I'm not in that picture. I'm glad I'm hid in Him. Are we hid in Him?
Amen.
I like that.
Awesome.
All I can do is put emphasis on Christ. I'm out of the picture. I'm nothing. That's why we can abase ourselves. If you can abase yourself, He'll raise you up. He'll raise you up. We can abase ourselves in this hour. Not like Luther. None of the generations could do what we're able to do. Because God predestinated you for this age.
Yes, He did.
You can't fail. You're certified seed. And God's going to pull you through this. So when you fall, don't major on your fall.
Right.
Just get up and go to church. Amen. Impress it. Because this is His work.
Right.
And He's going to perform it in you.
Okay.
Okay. Look at this. It says Aquarius. It says, and I want to put a word with this. Peace. Perfect peace. A peace that surpasses all understanding.
Right. Right.
Perfect harmony. Perfect joy. See, if He didn't bring us here, how can we go to the millennium?
Right.
If we don't have joy here, how's He ever going to put us in a 1,000-year reign of joy?
Right.
Brother Brandon said, we're the anointing in the temple.
Right.
You know why? It's going to be joy there.
Yeah.
But yet we come to the temple up there and we can't have a little joy?
Yeah.
We can't get behind Brother Ben and celebrate what we're doing?
That's right.
What makes you think you're going to be there?
Yeah.
I remind my people a lot of that. But you know, we get caught up on a Wednesday night, you know, they babysit all day. They're like, I guarantee you, if I changed diapers and heard crying kids all day, I would not be happy in church. I'm older and I can't take that stuff. You know, I couldn't take it when I was younger. I really can't take it now. But I remind them, look, you better notify your face. You better be happy. And I'll tell you what, your common courtesy to people out on the street, waving at them, smiling at them, say, well, hey, it's good to see you, old Brother Merle. You know what that may do? That may get that guy in your church.
That's right.
Say, no matter how down Merle is, I heard they come and got his car the other day. But it's still old Brother Happy Earl. Or Merle. But does everybody understand that? So if the anointing that's coming this hour is joy, do you think you ought to have the anointing this hour?
Yes, sir.
Amen.
I believe that.
Yeah.
Perfect understanding. The fullness of the word. It's been all revealed to us, okay? And sign of the perfected man. So God's already announced in heaven in 62 that He's going to have a perfect man. It's finished. All you have to do is let go and let God. It's that simple. It's too simple, isn't it, brother? It's too simple. It's always that way with God. It's so simple we get ourselves in the way. They go, yeah, He said you go right over the top of it,
right?
That's what they did with Jesus. It was so simple they missed it. Okay?
That's true.
Look at it. First, all that Christ was, He poured into the church. Is that picture showing that?
Yes, sir.
That's the perfect man. Aquarius is the perfect. That's Christ. Is He pouring it out into the church?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Okay.
That's already been.
Water brings a unity. Did you know that? People are talking about, I go to ministers meeting out east, they say, well, we want the unity of faith. Well, the Word's what brings that.
That's it.
If you're off the Word, I got no unity with it.
That's right.
How can two agree and walk together unless they be agreed?
Right.
So you want the unity, you get under the message.
Get under the message.
Get under your messenger. Amen. Say what's said on tape, and we'll have unity in the Spirit.
That's it.
Okay.
Yep.
This says here, I like his shepherds. Remember I read Psalms 19? See, he's the great shepherd. Do you agree?
Amen.
Well, shepherd is stargazers. No wonder God put the signs in there. He's a shepherd. He's the great shepherd. You understand? Right. By God putting that in the skies, he's showing it. It's a piece of Himself sitting out there.
Right.
You understand?
Yes, sir.
And He's giving it for signals and signs so you'll know exactly where you're at on your journey. That's what signs are on the road, right? It tells you where you're at.
Right.
I was coming here and said, Van Buren, 11 miles. Right? God does that. That ain't something man dreamed up. Nothing's new under the sun. God's giving signals out there, and He shows you exactly where you're at. Okay? The perfect man, the prince. Now, see, this Aquarius is the 11th sign. Does everybody understand that? Out of the 12th zodiac, it's the 11th. Does everybody know what the word 11 is in the scripture? Revelation. How many apostles had the revelation? 11.
Right.
See, this is the hour of revelation. Does everybody understand that?
Right.
So the number 11 in the Bible is revelation. Okay? Let's go to the next one. Now you're kind of catching up, right? Let me show you something here. Is anybody a pilot here? Has anybody been a pilot? We call it the North Star, right? That's what directs pilot ships and everything. Does anybody know where that's located? In what constellation? Aquarius. Here, read it. That's what I got here. Halt on. You know what that is? It's a flying eagle. The fourth anointing that came down was that rather than just say eagle, it said a flying eagle. There's a reason it said flying eagle.
Yes, sir.
It ain't an eagle perched on a rock somewhere. This is a flying eagle, folks. The North Star is a flying eagle. Brother Ed said, Jehovah, the great eagle.
That's good.
He typed it as Christ. Does everybody agree with that?
Yes, sir.
So for you to actually find your the right way, if you're going to go to France, Paris, they're going to follow this North Star to get
right,
there.
Right.
That's how they get their directions.
Right.
Guess what? We have a North Star, too.
Amen.
We have a message that's going to get you in the right direction. We'll put you down to millennium. Okay, let's read it. Altar is a yellowish white alpha star. Alpha means male, by the way. In Aquila, the eagle. Don't you think that's nice? The star's name derives from the Arabic word for the constellation that represents the wings of an eagle. Isn't that wonderful? He even prophesies that Israel will come home on the wings of an eagle.
Right.
That's what he said.
It's all coming together,
yes,
you know?
Sir. Absolutely.
Okay. Of a huge triangle known to all navigators. Altair is 01, Aquarius, 46 degrees of the zodiac, 301 degrees of celestial longitude. Like its name, Altair carries the significance of flying high. What is it saying after the church age said, come up hither?
Yeah.
What? We're flying eagles.
Yeah.
That sign that was in the sky in Aquarius, it's a flying eagle. That's what we are.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're flying now.
Amen.
We've flown where no man has ever flown before.
Yeah.
Sounds like Star Trek, doesn't it?
Yeah.
There's a
you know, they got the spirit of what we're
that's
doing.
That's right.
Right.
Inspiration.
Hey, they had a movie come out called Armageddon. I ain't going to be here, but they're getting the spirit of what's going on.
Yeah, exactly.
That's right.
And you know, the devils in the New Testament, actually, it's called Jesus the Son of God before anybody else
that's
did.
Right. That's right.
He told him, be still, devil. You're ahead of my time. Don't you do that.
Yeah.
Brother Randall said, the unbelievers will catch the pull of the hour
that's
before
right.
the believer will.
That's right.
They were saying, fast and pray that God would send a prophet.
Right.
They recognized they needed a prophet before the bride did.
Right. Right.
Wow.
Why? Because the unbeliever will absolutely get in the pool of the hour and start prophesying and preaching. They don't even know what they're saying.
Right.
The difference in them is we got full understanding.
Yeah.
Wiser
in
their generation.
They fill the pool.
Huh?
Yep.
The whole earth, everybody in this, they're part of the stardust. They fill the pool of the universe. You understand?
Okay.
Blazing new trails and setting lofty goals for those who follow. I think it's not.
Yeah.
Age of Aquarius began on February the 4th, 1962. Half a year of astronomers will say that. Do you believe the issues of God was coming for?
Oh, yes, sir.
Sir.
Water coming out.
Yeah.
The issues of God. It's exactly what he said it was. He didn't even know what he was talking about then. Follow through the message and you'll see he knows what he's talking. Why did he preach the stature of a perfect man?
Right.
Perfect man.
Yeah.
But that's the age that he had moved into, and it's the influence of that age.
Right.
Isn't that wonderful,
that's
brother?
Beautiful.
Amen.
Age of Aquarius began on February 4th. On that day, there occurred a very interesting astrological event. The planets Mercury, Venus, Mars, Jupiter, and Saturn, along with Sun and Earth. See, Brother Ed said five, but Sun and Earth lined up too. So
yeah.
It's actually seven. Because look, he's going to finish the mystery. Is that what it says?
Right.
Yeah.
That agreed. Now, it was grace to the people pouring down. Do you agree?
Yeah.
But it was actually God was finishing the mysteries. He lined seven planets up. Okay? We're all found in the constellation of Aquarius. That's what those planets that lined up, they lined up in the constellation of Aquarius. That only happens as you move. Every 25,000 years. Do you understand?
Okay.
It moves. Look, Jesus took the stars lined up, right? They lined up in what constellation? Aries. Because he was a lamb.
Mm-hmm.
Does everybody understand that?
Yeah.
Okay.
So every time, every 2,160, these planets will appear and line up.
Right.
Now, they'll line up outside of that, but they don't move. It doesn't click over into the next zodiac sign. So the outer ones every 25,000 years. The inner ones every month.
Right.
Right.
I'm Taurus. I'm born in May. Right? You agree? So there's a wheel within a wheel. One goes counterclockwise, the other goes clockwise.
Right.
And I showed you the signs. Every one of them follows along with the scripture.
Right.
I can prove what age they fell in by the pull of the arrow on that
That's
earth.
Good. Yeah.
I could prove it. Okay?
Right. Yeah.
So God put it up there. That's a Bible, folks.
Right.
Now, Brother Branham said, I don't understand the stars. This is my Bible. Well, I'll be honest with you. I don't understand it much either, but I was able to take the quote Brother Branham said there and follow it through the... Thank God for hearing that. I ran it through there and I said, oh my God, I didn't know that was happening. But now I see where we're at. You understand? It's the perfecting of a people. That's the influence on the earth. And God's not going to settle for anything else, okay?
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay, here we go. I don't know if I'll read much more of that. Okay, I want to read this. Jump to the page. It says that last sentence of that paragraph. Each time it happens, it marks the beginning of a new era or new age for humanity. February 4th, 1962 marked the end of the age of Pisces and the beginning of the age of Aquarius.
All right.
In this Aquarian age, the Sunday of God, which I think that's nice, Sunday of God. What is it? Rest. What is Sunday? Rest.
Right.
Have we entered into our rest?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. But the sign of the Son of Man has appeared in the heaven. This is an astronomer. This is an astronomer wrote this. He called it the sign of the Son of Man.
Right.
Everybody understand? Remember when scripture I read in 24 said, first thing's going to appear, the appearing was the sign of the Son of Man.
Right.
They asked him what your sign would be, did they not?
Right.
That was in 1962, that was the appearing. Everybody understand that? What came down on Sunset Mountain was the coming.
Mm-hmm.
Scripture says that. Go look at what it says, okay? And now we're the only thing we're waiting, the last signal we're going to get. Brother said, what should we be looking for? It's a signal to us, the meeting in the air.
Right.
That's the last signal. He said, don't you look for nothing else. Don't you look for Brother Ham to come back.
That's right.
Absolutely. Did he say that? Did he say, look for that?
No, sir.
He said, look. He said, the only thing you ought to be looking for is that meeting in the air.
Right.
That's your last signal. We've had three, an appearing, a coming, and a meeting. That's the only sign you Gentiles will get. And now gather, it's all gathered up under the Son of Man. Does everybody understand that? That's how he's doing this. Let's go on. Son of Man has appeared in the heavens. All things will stand revealed. Now, this guy ain't even a message believer. This is an astronomer, people. All things will be made known. Does everybody believe that?
Yeah.
You believe under the seals, the loosings of that ministry, that all things are made known?
Absolutely.
Everything's been revealed?
Absolutely.
It had to be under that sign.
Right.
If it's happening on earth, it's got to have show in heaven.
That's right.
And it did.
That's right.
God kept his word.
Right.
It's for times, signals, and for seasons. Is that what I read you in Genesis? God established it. Okay.
Yes.
Let's put down the last one that's highlighted. And when this Aquarian age shall reach its close, we too will be able to join in that great anthem of joy. Would you like that? And sing praises of the Most High and God within us. Humanity has been wandering many, many years in the wilderness for the promised land, flowing with milk and honey. It's very, very near. And soon, the stone that the builders rejected will become the head of the corner. Does that sound like the statue of a perfect man? Now I want you to look at the date where this guy wrote this. Everybody see that? 19 and 20.
Wow.
19 and 20.
Wow.
I read, you know, this guy, you ought to get it. It says, the Son of Man, the God man. He wrote a book in 19:20, giving this woman here. I think that's awesome, people. You know what? They're already starting to feel the pull of the hour. Okay? Let's go to the next page. This guy here, I put a disclaimer on this, Wesley Swift, he was the founder of the KKK. You say, does that scare you? No, Brother Jess always taught us this. If you had a plane go over and Khrushchev was flying the plane, it said Jesus saves, would you believe it? Even though Khrushchev was flying the plane?
Right.
Would you believe it?
It's true. Jesus saves.
Yeah. Scripture says heresy will manifest truth. Does it say it?
Yeah.
Am I afraid of false doctrine? No, I believe Matthew 24. I can't be deceived.
Right.
I'm a perfect man. How can I be deceived?
Right.
How can I miss the mark?
Right.
You can. Let's read it. I'm not going to read it. Just the highlights, okay? We are facing one of the most significant years. He wrote this 1-3 of 62. So this is before it happened. It happened on 2-4. We are facing one of the most significant years in all history. One which all astronomical observers have looked forward to. What will transpire has never happened the lifetime of any science, astronomer, or astrologer on the face of the earth. In that, the exactness of the condition which is appearing in the heavens will take place in February of this year and has great significance regarding prophetic measures. And it has been 23,000 years when as many planets and configuration have been in opposition for the same sign together and make the same pattern as they are now making. Even if we were to remove the exact position to which they are now assembling, the most significant thing is that as last time as many as five of these planets were in like and similar positions took place 4 years before the flood that preserved Noah and destroyed his image, as it was in the days of Noah. Is that what it says?
Yeah.
See how perfect it is?
Yeah, yes.
Okay, let's go to the next highlight now. As well as the power of Rome was the sign of the fish, we have been in the sign of Pisces during all of the Christian era. Okay, next one down there it says. Remember in Joel? Remember Brother Branham said, Joel, on the day of Pentecost, remember Peter come down and said, this is that was written by Joel? Brother Branham turned around and said it again. Look, the Holy Ghost is at the top of that pyramid. Does everybody look at where it goes? What was it? It was a restoration of the Holy Ghost to a people. Does everybody agree with that?
Yes.
Did Brother Branham preach Joel and place it this hour, not just back where Peter was? Okay, now look what this guy says. I'm going to pour out my spirit upon all my sons and daughters, my young and their old men. Aquarius is the sign of the outpouring of the spirit. Remember the guy with the water pot pouring out?
Yeah.
A vision and power and a new day. I put Feast of Tabernacle, Holy Convocation, okay? We are now under the new sign in the heavens. Flashing red light is coming. The events that are happening are new signs and the whole universe moves like clockwork with great precision. You must remember that one of the things the psalmist tells us about is that God has built the earth and the universe in proper relationship. In Psalms 19, he declares the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. And day unto day, and night unto night, showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voices is not heard. Okay? Next highlight. And we are told that the sun is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoices as a strong man to run a race, and he goeth forth from one end of the heavens and his circuit to the end of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. Let's go to the next quote down and highlight. I would point to the words of Jesus who made the statement in Matthew 24:30 that there is going to appear the sign of the Son of Man in heavens. It did happen. There's your appearing. Does everybody understand what I'm telling you? That's the appearing. And it says in heavens. If you go look at the scripture, that's what it says. It's already happened. That's why I will not declare that cloud an appearing. Because the scripture says the mighty angel descends. Click on descend, it says coming.
Yes, sir.
Brother Ben said the mistake they made in Jesus' day, they took all the comings and they put it into one. Mm-hmm. Right? Everybody puts it all out there, don't they? That's what the church world does.
Mm-hmm.
But what we need to understand, and we believe the come in 1963, all of us believe that. We believe the cloud. I believe that with all my heart.
Yes.
You know why? I got a revelation. I see it in the scripture. There ain't no man going to beat me off that. My faith is established on the word. Can I say that?
Yeah.
Nobody's going to take this from me.
Yeah.
Amen. Okay? Yeah. And then shall all the nations of earth mourn when they see the sign of the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven, power and with glory. Let's go. Let's skip that. I gave these to you. Go home and read them. There's a lot of detail to it, okay? I'm reading these as proof that I'm talking. It's old. The appearing happened in 1962. The coming happened in 1963. The only sign we got left is the meeting in the air. Okay?
It's good.
This one here, page 12, Mount Pinnacle. Don't get nervous. We're getting there. Between February 4th and 5th of 62. Now remember, Brother Ram was preaching communion on the 4th, right? But he's actually preaching the very day this was happening, brother.
Yeah.
He said, I know it's issues of God,
right.
But he couldn't get into detail on it. God hadn't opened it up to him yet.
Yeah.
Okay? All of the visible seven planets, Sun, Moon, Mercury, Venus, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, were transiting the sign of Aquarius, something that happens only so many thousands of years. Was this the official beginning of the Aquarian Age? This site says yes. You go out there and many of the astronomers, half of them say no. But remember, only three of those astronomers seen that star in the
sky. That's right.
Don't get bugged out, right? They go to the internet and they see all the blasphemous things they talk about Brother Branham. Like you said, they don't scare you one bit.
Yeah.
I'm one of the Magi's. I seen it.
That's right.
I don't care what they put on the information highway. There's only three of them that's seen the star. There's only three of them that's going to see his star, William Branham.
Amen.
Don't get bugged out at these things. It's happened over and over and over.
That's right.
While the closest bunching of the planets occurs just midnight London time on February 5th, the whole two-day period from 10:57 p.m. February the 3rd to February the 5th is the official entry period. So the time that Brother Brown preached communion talks about, we were entering into that new age of Aquarius. Don't you think that's nice?
Yeah.
And look at what he preaches after that, stature of a perfect man. So it does have a good plus. Do you agree with that?
Yeah.
I'm going to read. I just gave you these. I even gave the hot links down there. You can go to it. Very interesting. You know. Hey, you got to be careful. Remember, 97 of the astronomers are wrong. Three of them are right. So you're going to read some negatives out there.
Sure.
You understand? But you got to watch. And you got to watch what Brother Bam was. Like I said, he says cross fishes and he says cancer. That's not right. But Brother Bam said, I don't know the stars. I know the Bible. He proved it by that. He wasn't lying when he said it. I'll say amen to that. Okay, now let's go to 13. I'm about through. You have now heard the words in the dawning of the age of Aquarius, the popular song.
Yeah.
You'll remember this, Brother Frank.
Yeah, I remember it.
This is the dawning of the age of Aquarius.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. You remember it, don't you?
Yes, sir.
Who else is in about here a little older? You remember it, don't you? I love that song.
Yeah.
You know who sang it? The fifth dimension.
Yeah.
The devils will get it before
that's right.
When they're in the fifth dimension, that's where devils live.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
The devils in the days when Jesus was casting out them, they got he was the Son of God, and he said, shut up. Right?
Yeah.
Why? They recognized it before the apostles did.
1966.
All this.
Yeah.
Peace, man.
Peace, the peace sign. What did I read? What is under that sign? What's it? Peace.
Yeah.
There was already the influence was in the 60s. That had come out in 68. The influence on the earth was peace, harmony, love, but they perverted it. It's a perversion of the right.
That's right.
Yeah, I'm going to get to it. It's in my notes. That's what's going to blow you away. That's what I wanted to say. Always in the Bible. The unbeliever got what God was doing before the believer did. We seem to catch on to this thing last. They caught on to it in the 60s. The only thing is they catch on to it, but they pervert it.
Yeah, right.
They make a perversion out of it, right?
Yeah.
What does it mean? Just as the stars move through the procession of the equinoxes, so we have moved from one mansion of the zodiac to another. Isn't that wonderful? The procession of the equinoxes is going in the opposite direction of that which we have been moving in a series on the zodiac. Interestingly, by the time of Christ coming to the world, we moved into the sign of Pisces. Everybody will agree with that.
Hey.
Which is the sign of the fish and a symbol of the people of God. That sign has lasted for approximately 2,000 years, after which we will be moving in the sign of Aquarius, meaning a time of peace and harmony and joy. What's the only way you have harmony?
Yeah.
How are we united?
Word.
It's the only way.
Lord.
Brother Branham said, when the pressure comes out, you'll lay down these little differences.
That's right. Yeah.
Some of these things we got, or we're getting ourselves in the way. It's terminology, it's these little differences, and we're going to run together then, because this is the age of harmony. If you've got that, if you're being influenced by that perfect man, you run together. You see what Brother Branham's talking about? Brother Branham was living under the influence of that, and so are we still. We're going to be here through the millennium. We're going to have that. Now, joy was anointing in the millennium. We're still going to be under that. Does everybody see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
In the millennium, we're still going to be under the sign of Aquarius there.
Sure.
Right. Pretty easy to understand, ain't it? Aquarius is the modern Latin name by the signs known. It was the same meaning that pour forth the water. Can we doubt what is the interpretation of this sign? The Greeks, not knowing him, of whom it testified, were like the woman of Samaria, destitute of that living water, which he alone can give. How many times did Brother Branham preach about that the woman that was destitute?
Right.
Huh? Five husbands, one you're living with, ain't yours?
Right. Yeah.
Well, if you look at this, buddy, I can almost say that.
Yeah.
I was in and out of everything, right? That was us. But you know what? He said, I'm going to give you something that you can't get in that well.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you living water.
That's right.
That was us he was talking to. We're that prostitute woman.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Remember, Rahab the harlot. They still call her Rahab the harlot. But she married a captain of the host of Israel.
Right.
Now you explain that one. God can do it the way he wants to do it.
That's right. Listen to this. Now let's go. Lyrics to the Age of Aquarius, sang by the Fifth Dimension. I want you to listen to these words. It's going to blow you away. Blow you away. When the moon is in the seventh house. Right? You know, every day it's in the seventh house. Every day. You're going to have joy every day.
Amen.
This is a peace. This is perfect peace, what we got. This is perfect joy. I'm not up today and down tomorrow. You know what Brother Brown said? That person is up and down, up and down. You know what spirit he said you had on you? A gambling spirit.
Yeah.
You win today, you lose tomorrow.
Right.
When you get people in the message of the hour, that they're up today, down tomorrow, in church, out, they got a gambling spirit.
That's right.
You can't win with that.
Right.
What you need to do is pray that gambling spirit off from you, whoever you are. Like you said, if you got the Holy Ghost, you got the issues of God, you can't wait to get together with people. Just what you said, right, Brother Ben?
Right.
You can't wait to get there. Because you know every time we're two or three together, he'll be there and he'll pour out the issues of God on you. Do you ever doubt that he won't meet you when you get in that pulpit? He meets me at home in my study.
That's right.
God already met me before I ever come to that wooden platform.
Yes, sir.
You ought to have God. You ought to bring God in the church with
that's
you.
It.
You don't get God in the church. You bring him with you.
Amen.
Okay?
That's exactly right. Yeah, that's the truth.
And Jupiter aligns with Mars, did it?
Yep.
Then peace will guide the planets. And love. Steer those stars. What was that capstone love? That's what's steering us, people. This is the dawning of the Age of Aquarius. Age of Aquarius, Aquarius, Aquarius. Harmony and understanding. Harmony, the word, the dying of the word. Sympathy and trust abiding.
Founding,
sorry. No more falsehoods or derisions. No arguing. Don't argue, children don't argue. That's the influence we're under. If you're under the influence of the perfect man, you're not going to argue. Golden living dreams of visions. Isn't that wonderful? Mystic crystal revelation. It's a revelation that's been made clear. Has it been made clear in this?
Yeah.
Are you living under the sign of the Son of Man? And the mind's true liberation.
Yeah.
Been set free. Aquarius, Aquarius. When the moon is in the seventh house every day, and Jupiter aligns with Mars, then peace will guide the planets, and love will steer the stars. This is the dawning of the Age of Aquarius. Age of Aquarius, Aquarius, Aquarius. Then all of a sudden they stop.
Right.
Listen to what they go. This is what you were preaching last night.
Right.
It blew me away. We're on the same page. Amen. Listen to this one. Ready? Let the sun shine.
Amen.
Let the sun shine in. The sun shine in. Let the sun shine in. Over and over and over. Let the sun shine in. Glass says, oh, let it shine. Come on. Now everybody can sing along. You're going to have harmony. When you sing along, you got harmony. You got a unity, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Let the sun shine in. Open up your heart and let it shine on in. When you are lonely, and I'll tell you what, this is a lonely walk.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Amen. You, your mother, your father, your sister, your brother will forsake you.
Yeah.
But if you're lonely, just let the sun shine
in.
Amen. You've got to open up your heart and let it shine on in. And when you feel you've been mistreated and your friends turn away, just open your heart and shine on in.
Praise the Lord.
God's not withholding anything from this ride that we're at. Brother Rand was exactly right. Now let's go hold close. I know I'm taking too long, but I gotta say this. This blew me away. I didn't see this till I reread it just the other day. I'm gonna preach it in church tomorrow if you guys can get a reread. Don't blame me. It just happened. Story of Foy, closing statement. I want to show you something powerful here. You just tell me what you have.
Okay.
6:4:4:4. I'm going to read it as quick as I can. I had a story that's told me some time ago. I might have told it to the church. And it says this in communion. Right after he's talking about those planets lining up. Listen. There was an Indian guide, or kind of an overseer of the Indians. He was traveling in a Navajo country and got lost. His name was Coy, and he was down a trail, a game trail, and he thought, now if I hit this trail, I'll surely find water. What is the Age of Aquarius all about? Water.
Yeah.
Okay? And his horse was so thirsty till his tongue was hanging out dry, the nostrils had turned red and caked with sand. He had held his handkerchief over his face in the sandstorm till a crack caked over. And he was perishing for water. Isn't that what we a thirsty woman?
Yeah.
Wasn't we perishing for lack of water?
and he was leading his horse when he struck the trail. And he said, when we got on the horse, he saw this game trail. He said, surely it'll take me to water. So he jumps the trail on his horse and started down the trail. And the horse knew also it was on the trail to water. How God gives us instinct to the dumb beast. Now let me tell you something. God gave you a divine nature.
Yeah.
That's your instinct. It's going to take you to the capstone. Does everybody understand that? Brother Brandon said stature for that was the divine nature of God. Everyone was after. And that's going to take you to the capstone, okay? Okay. Just a very few off the beaten path. The horse wanted to turn that way, but Coy thought different. He tried to keep it in the main blaze trail. Is that right? They're trying to go where everybody else is going.
Right.
He started down, the horse would not go. You understand that we're riding the, and this is talking about nature. Remember, Brother Ram, he learned the Bible through nature?
Right.
This horse, through nature, knew where the water was.
Yeah. Right.
If you've got the divine nature of God, won't it lead you to the water?
Yes, sir.
Even though it's a path that's not taken by very many,
right.
You have a divine, the same natural nature that's in that horse is in you to get the water.
Right.
This divine nature is leading you to water. You understand? Okay. Next paragraph, 79. So you start pulling the spurs to it. And he cut the horse, so excited to get the water that his life would be spared. And when the horse stood quivering, bleeding, he looked down there. She was quivering like that, almost falling under him. He looked down at her and seen the blood of her side. He was a Christian. And he said to the horse, that I've often heard that wild or beast had an instinct. It don't look like that little bitty bunch turned off that way would be going to water. It looks like this great path here would lead to where they constantly to water. But said, if you carried me faithful this far, I'll follow your instinct.
Amen.
If this divine nature has led me this far, I'm not going to go down the beaten path. I'm going to let this divine nature to lead me to the water. Does everybody understand that?
That's good, man.
This is, he's typing a natural thing, and he's talking spiritually. Right? That God had put a nature in that horse to find water. God put his divine nature in you for one purpose, to find water. Okay? You'll get the water. Oh, how I think that Christ, the way of destruction, is posted, blazed all the way. There is a narrow road that leads to life. Few there be that find it. Only, not instinct, but the Holy Spirit will turn you aside in the water of life. Let's bring on the next highlight. To finish the story, he had gone half a mile. Faithful horse plunged right in a big hole of water. The horse knew that it was talking about what it was mean in it, the way of expressing to the rider. Right? We're saved. The horse drinking. I'm just jumping around so I don't want to read too long. Next quote, 82. And said then, he said, heard somebody say, come out of that water. And he asked, and there was a little disfigured cowboy. That's what Sam will do to you. Standing there, he got out of the water. And he said, he smelled fire and looked over. There was a bunch of men camping there, right? Had been up on a prospecting outfit. They had struck some gold. On the road back, they had their horses and pack horses along. They'd come to the water hole and was resting. And they all have all got drunk. That's what we got around the message there. We got a bunch of preachers, disfigured preachers. They got to the water hole, but they're drunk on their own. Remember what the wine of fornication it was? It's
right.
Their own drink?
Right.
I'm going to have to finish. I can't keep reading this. I'm taking it too long. But do you understand? They said, if you're going to eat our meat, then you're going to drink our drink.
Right.
He said, now I'm a Kentuckian.
Right.
He said, I promised my dying mother that I'd never take another drink.
Right.
He made a promise. Did we not make a promise to God? What? And he said, I'm a Kentuckian. You know what made you a Christian? Your promise to God. Mm-hmm. Pretty soon, what happened was, he said, they put a rifle on him and said, if you don't drink out of this cup, we're going to kill you. Isn't that what a lot of preachers say?
Yeah.
If you don't drink this revelation I got, you're going to die. Oh, if you leave the church, you're dead. Mm-hmm. Right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what they say. You got to eat my meat, right? Mm-hmm. You don't eat my meat, you're done. I'm going to kill you.
Mm-hmm.
There was another old Kentuckian over in the bushes with his rifle. When the guy held his jug up, he shot it. You know what we ought to be doing to these guys that come up with this strange thought? We ought to shoot their jug. This is the hour we're in. We're at the watering hole, people.
Amen.
We need to start shooting some jugs is what we need to do. And that guy stepped out and he said, you know what? I'm a Kentuckian too.
Right.
Everybody understand that?
Right.
And he said, I made the same promise to my mama that you did. The only difference is I did take a drink. But here the guy got down to the watering hole. What did he do? He repented. It said every one of them got saved.
Yeah.
What we need to do with these preachers is bring their own alcohol to this water hole. We need to shoot their jug, and then maybe they'll get saved.
Amen.
That's exactly what it's talking about in this hour. We've got the water. What are we trying to do to put our own wine, our own spirits with it? It's the Holy Spirit. And it may take you in a direction you may, like a horse. Finally, he just gave in to the nature, right? Remember what I told you, Brother Ramon, when he preached, let go and let God? What he's talking about here, the water is what influences you.
Yeah.
You've got to let go and let God to get there. Everybody understand that? There's what it's taught. That's how you'll come to the perfect man. Let go. Let go. Over and over and over in 62. That's what Brother Barry said. Restoration of the bride tree. Let go and let God. That's all we got to do. We make something big out of it. We put ourselves, introduce ourselves into it. And we need to get ourselves out and get Christ in it.
Amen.
Right? We need to get that watering hole. We need to start. And that nature you got in you, that divine nature is going to take you there, Brother Tony. It's going to bring you to the capstone. The perfect man. I think it's wonderful, don't you?
Amen.
Amen. Brother Randall's told it to us. It's just taking us a while to catch up to what he was getting at.
Yeah.
And so when I say that, it just blew me away. It's still, take the notes, you can. It still blows me away. I think we've just hit the tip of the iceberg of where we're at. But you know what? That very nature that's in me, it may take me down a road that looks really silly.
Yeah.
Sometimes I go out there, I go in the office and I study. I don't feel the anointing that day. I go to the church. It'll be sometimes the most anointed service I've ever been right. in. But you know what? I did my job. I got me to the pulpit.
Right.
I've told my wife, and I don't know about you preachers here, but honestly, now in my walk with the Lord, before I preach, I can lay my body down and not get up on that fire. The devil attacks my flesh that bad.
Yeah.
But I can't stop. There's a nature in me that drives me to keep doing what I'm doing. And I can't do nothing but declare to you, I got to bring these issues forward. I want to be a water pot bearer.
Amen.
And get everybody in the upper room. I want communion as well. Not mass. Mass is hoping. Communion is nobody.
That's Amen. Good.
That's right.
And I thank God he's given us a full understanding. We know where we're at. How can we fail?
That's it.
We got the perfect life. Issues of God. It's a wonderful time. You ought to thank God for the Bible ministry.
Yeah.
You ought to. Brother Prater, Brother Tony, I think we respect all you in this room. It's a hard path. Sometimes you're going down a path and you go, what am I doing? Where am I going? But that very nature that God has given you, that divine nature, is leading you down a path that hardly anybody else travels. But it's the right way to the water.
Amen.
I like it, don't you?
Amen.
Put a prophet with a seventh grade education out there.
Right.
Let me tell you, I've been preaching this pastor. Sorry, I can go on forever. Brother Ram said, first quote I ever read when I preached this, Brother Ram said, he can take a 3-day club and preach for 25 years. I told the church, I don't even feel called after that. Now, I've been doing it, I can preach 25 years. It's just something, I don't know your ministry, it takes off, don't it?
Yeah.
But I don't remember what I was saying now. I kind of lost it there. Come up here, Brother Tony. He's the head cheese today. I'm
oh.
sure. But God's here to us, isn't he?
Yes.
It's so simple. It really is, people. It's just simple. It's just letting go and letting God. It's all we have to do. He's okay. Everybody understand? I think maybe. If you don't, go home and read the notes. I think it's an exciting hour. It's the hour of perfection. Some days you may not see it, but don't worry. You're getting there.
Amen.
I tell the church, I'm going to make it in spite of myself. Don't you think that's wonderful?
Mm-hmm.
What I can't do, he's going to finish. Right? Some days I think, man, I can't make it to the pulpit. I feel like I'm going to have to crawl up there. But I get in the pulpit, and I forget that day. I forget the hour before that the devil slapped me around. Once I get in the pulpit, it's just like I told him, I put my ears back and smooth cell in the hand, man. God's good. He's going to get us there, Brother Tony.
Amen.
It's wonderful, isn't it? Wonderful age we live in. Wonderful people. God saved the best for last. Perfect for you people.
I'm riding.
Yeah.
Amen.
That's what he said. That's what he did with that horse. He rode it right to the water over, didn't he?
Yeah.
Amen.
Okay.
Amen. Enjoy that. You know, I remember Brother Van mentioned in the message, Shalom, he talked about gross darkness coming upon the world. And, of course, yep. He said to the believer, to us, it was Shalom.
Yep, peace.
But in there, he said, you know, you see the preachers coming to the pulpit, fumbling, trying to find something to say. Aren't you glad we don't have that problem?
That's right.
That's right.
God's definitely made us a different people for a reason.
Yes.
This is our whole purpose for life, is to let that anointed word come upon us and make us the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ in this day, the coming of his presence among as he promised him to do. So you are that body. So let's bow our hearts to him in prayer just for a moment. Lord Jesus, it's been so wonderful to sit in your presence this morning, Lord. Lord, as we each one have our own walk through this life, and we have many times questioned what it was all about, Lord, as we've heard this morning, it's been you gathering us together, Lord, under this glorious message, this glorious word, Lord. God, to show us that we are that people that you ordained to come in this hour. And Lord, it brings a humility to our hearts to know that you called us to this. Lord, it's, words cannot explain how we feel, Lord, inside, that you would just look upon us and call us to such a walk. But Lord, we could just lift up our hearts and our hands and say, Lord, just have your way among us and be what you desire to be in us. We ask, Lord, that you would bless these that have come to be in these services, Lord. Bless the ministers that partake in here and put forth the word in these meetings this weekend. Bless Brother Claude. We ask, God, that you just bless each one as they have to travel back today or whenever they go. Lord, just ask that you would continue to allow us to be in your fellowship. Be with us in the service tonight and in the morning, and continue to do what you set out to accomplish this weekend. And may everyone, Lord, that's here, may they be blessed with your presence. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Then we will evacuate the room just in a moment, but we have plans to go to the park, which is down on Arkansas 59 Highway. After you cross the Arkansas River, it'll be the first left, Springville Park. And I know that it rained just a little while ago. That might happen, it might not, but we do have a covered pavilion, and so we'll be able to be in the dry if it does start raining. Incidentally, a while ago I looked on the radar, there was one speck, one little tiny speck of rain right here. His brother was talking about pouring that water out.
Wow.
So, yeah. So anyway, it might rain later, I don't know, but we want you to come out. And anybody that is coming to the park, we're going to go there from here now because some of the folks are already down there. If you're going to come, we'll meet out in front, and you can follow us. If you don't know how to get there, we'll make sure that you get a guide to help you get there. And I think your brother Todd's going to be there to answer questions if you have any. And so it's been good, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Man, the world don't know what's happening in their midst. But it doesn't bring holiness. To bring a humility to
right.
Say, you know what, Lord,
right.
I can touch lives still yet because you've anointed me to do it.
Yes.
God bless you.